keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope, so no overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you.
It's the rise of radical Islam. Are you kidding me? It's the rise of radical Islam. We're all going to die. We've never heard this story before, have we?
No, we haven't.
Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson, followed by my co-host,
Desert Young.
So basically, we have two brothers that killed some people. The United States government knew about them before this happened. And then they're on the loose. And now we have thousands, in this case, 80,000 people looking for these two guys. Where have we heard this before?
I don't know, man. It seemed like...
Can you say Boston?
Yes.
Have we read the same script once before? I mean,
we have seen it before.
At least most Grey's Anatomy like has different scripts for each show they do. But you know, the government—they're like, "Well, we got one good one. Let's just stick to it."
And basically, it's like the same scenario.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. Two brothers, Islam. Be scared. Be scared.
What the Yemen?
Oh, they went. Oh yeah, they went. Yeah. It's the same
but
deal.
Also fighting with
Syria?
The forces that we were funded.
Oh, no. We haven't funded these people.
But then we got the same scenario again.
What are you talking about? We haven't funded terrorism.
So let's talk about this Boston thing all over again.
Let's do it.
Yes, sir.
It's the same deal. We got two brothers. All right? Think about this.
Listeners, think about it. Go ahead.
We got two brothers. There's some people dead.
Okay.
Which is a tragedy.
12.
12 in this case.
Mm-hmm.
On the run. In Boston, it was used to shut a major metropolitan area down. What's happening right now in Paris? 80,000 people are looking for two people. You're telling me with drones? You're telling me with satellites?
Well,
and 80,000 people, they can't catch two guys. It's the same script. Fear, fear, fear. Are you scared yet? Be scared of Muslims. They're coming to get you.
They're on their way, huh?
Oh, man, they're on their way.
Well, it's most definitely a lot going on, I must say. You know, and for these guys to go and kill these innocent people just for, from their creativity and them having the right...
The free expression.
Artists. I'm talking about gunt them down.
Right, it's free expression. I'm not going to go on and say Charlie Hebdo is exactly, Leonardo da Vinci. But at the same time, they've got the right to express themselves.
Yes, and they don't have the right to be gunned down and killed.
Right, no.
But is it the same scenario again? Like, who sent them? That's the question.
Well, they went to the end. We know that.
Well, we know that. Well, we know all.
We know that they were in certain spots, but we don't know exactly. We know what the mainstream media has said.
Yeah.
But it's time to look at what's really going on.
And I really want to know what's going on there, Sam.
You know, it's just too much. Me, it's too coincidental. The stories really coincidental. Are too parallel with each other. Because Boston, it was.
But we can't say it's happening again.
Oh, it's happening. The same story's happening.
Okay, now they're stuck in the woods and they got them, trapped in the woods or whatever. Armed, two guys. One guy, the youngest of the three, surrendered. But they refused to show his pictures online.
No, well.
Well, we haven't seen it yet. We know the other two brothers.
They're all about focusing on that one cop getting killed.
Well, yeah, which is also tragic.
Oh, yeah, every death is tragic. Absolutely, absolutely. But what bothers me the most is, let's talk about Boston. And I've heard some conspiracy theories that say, these are crisis actors. That's so offensive to me that you say these are crisis actors. I'm going to tell you why it's offensive to me. Because you're saying to me that the government won't kill people. They do it every day. Just because they're in this country, they'll do whatever they got to do. Are you kidding me?
I think there's a bigger story behind it. You know, but we know that this magazine company,
right?
They have been targeted before.
Right, they've made offensive cartoons.
Well, who says it's offensive?
It's the threats are offensive to the religion.
Well, hey, there's a lot of threats. Hey, no one complained about the police going in China down the cross from the Christians. They took the cross down.
It's very similar to the Sony hat.
Well, the Sony hat.
Because look, you're going to offend. Kim Jong-un, offended.
Yeah. And, Islam, offended.
Right. And we're going to retaliate. So there's always a pretext now. They've learned enough to know we're going to give you an immediate pretext to the reaction that you're about to see. And here's the scary part. I'm not saying that this rapper kid and his brother, it's not completely organic, legitimate. Some guys went out there and killed some people. What I will say is it's eerily similar to the Boston situation. And two, that if it is completely organic, what circumstances and what environment created their organic anger to the point of killing? And you know, I saw on TV today that the kid that was a rapper, he was sitting here saying, there's nothing better than becoming
Sharif.
Right. There's nothing better than dying for your religion. Well, if that's what he believed, then he would have stood there and shot people down, not be in the woods and Paris be on lockdown right now. So they're kind of contradicting themselves. This guy believes I'm going to die for my religion, not run through the woods for my religion.
They most definitely didn't attach bombs to them and blow themselves up.
Right, and they say they found stuff in the car and yada yada yada.
Yeah, and it's a tragic. Yeah, I hate that it happened. Yeah, but
I'm sick of death.
We have to ask the question.
Where is the death coming from?
And it's just too similar to the Boston bombings.
It's very similar. The stories are very parallel to each other.
And we are waking up as people, I think. So it's not too much that you're going to hide.
Well, here's the problem with Boston, though. There's so many people that still just believe the complete narrative that came out across the government line on that. I have a hard time believing the narrative of the Boston bombing based on the fact that they say that the one Sarnell brother that's still alive, they show him in the boat getting out. They say that there was a gun battle. okay?
Yeah.
They show him, there's photos of him getting out of the boat with no injuries, and the next thing you know, he's been shot in the throat, and they say that happened in the boat. Their own official story doesn't line up. Eyewitnesses say from the one brother that was killed that his brother ran him over with a car. But what eyewitnesses say is that it was the police that ran him over with the car. So I have a problem believing that story, but would the government lie to us? No, they would never lie to us.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, you know, we have different opinions on the Boston bombing.
Right.
But,
but here's the thing, that this is what people get lost at, is when you question something, that people automatically, this thing snaps in them and says, you don't believe that happened, you're conspiracy theorists. That's bogus.
It happened.
Right, it did. That's not the question. The question is the story. You're saying these are automatically the two suspects. Well, what proof do you have? Because we said so. We have a videotape of a guy with a backpack. That's how we know it. You have no proof. You have no proof. Did it happen? Of course it happened.
Well, you know, there was proof from shots being fired from that boat in that guy's backyard. That guy was.
But we have pictures. Also. We have pictures of him outside of the boat.
Yes.
With no wounds. And the next thing you know, he's getting a tracheotomy. He's getting tube shoved.
He had wounds when he was.
Not the wounds that he was hospitalized.
Oh no. So, and there's a lot of conflicting stories on it, you know. But we all, you know, we all seen it. We heard, you know, and also heard it. But
let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Do you believe in any level that the government was involved in killing Martin Luther King? On any level?
Yes.
If you believe that they would kill that man, what in the world are you believing anything else they say for? If you already are saying to me, you believe that they would kill somebody, okay, so why are you believing anything else they say? So you're telling me, oh yeah, they killed him, but I believe them about this. Come on now.
I'm not, listen to this now, you know, I'm not saying all the stuff are facts that they're telling us.
No, exactly. Okay. That's the question.
But we do have to, like, also put in consideration those guys, their involvement in it, man. I'm talking, look.
Well, of course there's involvement. James Earl Ray was involved on some level with King, but was he the guy that pulled the trigger? No, he bought a gun down in an Air Marine on the Port of Madrid Boulevard, and he dropped it off right down the street on the Port of Madrid Boulevard at the Green Beret Station.
Yeah. I have to agree with you when you're right, you know?
Right. So you can't say, this is the thing that frustrates me about people, is they say, well, I don't trust the government about this, but I trust them about this. You can't do that. You can't trust them about one thing and not trust them about another. If they're capable of lying, they're capable of lying.
Well, period. They lie all the time.
Right. So why would you believe a story about Boston? Or why would you believe... And this is France, you know, this is outside of our jurisdiction.
No, it's not. We got our hands in all of it.
We got our hands in it.
So don't lie. We got our hands in all of
it. The unfortunate thing is there are innocent people dead.
Mm-hmm.
And... What bothers me is now that, again...
I have a problem with senseless killing.
It's all senseless killing. When have you known killing that's sensible? Is there such thing? There is no sensible killing. It's all senseless killing. So everybody's like, I have a problem with, you know, senseless killing. We're going to go out and kill and torture these
people. Is it the American way?
Well, of course it's the American way. We've been in perpetual war since the beginning of this country. I forgot to lead off with this, but the absolute brilliant inspiration, Derek Bros is going to be on. He's going to be on at the bottom of the hour. Please stay tuned for that, our guest. He's going to be talking about the torture report. He's going to be talking about 9/11. Very brilliant guy. Please stay tuned for that. All right. Back to what we're talking about. So, we've already established there's sensible killings. You know, I don't see that happening.
So, do you think that there could have been a way that we could have, like, you know, intervened in this, you know, like stopped it from happening?
No, but they want you to think that because they want you to say they're already on the radar. Because, listen, they're not going to say, oh, we didn't, you know, if there's just two guys that do something, whether they were on the radar or not.
I don't understand how these two guys get away. Like, you know.
Oh, that's insane. It's insane. Listen, with drones, with satellites, and 80,000 people on the streets of Paris. 80,000. Can't catch two people. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
They must have some secret tunnels over there, man.
Oh, must be. They must be from Hamas. They must be going into Israel from Hamas. Oh, geez. They're coming from Gaza. Oh, no. Tunnels. Let's kill some children. Let's excuse it. There's some tunnels. Let's kill some babies.
It's a sad thing, man, that we having this to occur again. But we do have to point out all the inaccurate things that we are seeing, and it's just plain sight. I'm like, are we seeing this again?
We absolutely are seeing this again. But the problem is okay. Let's look at the killings with whether it's soldiers overseas, or let's talk about the police department here in America. When there's people that are killed, okay, Americans, and I assume that it is this way for, you know, other countries as well, but I can speak from experience with Americans, is if they say to themselves that this guy in uniform goes and kills somebody, and for you to admit that it was wrong, you're saying, it's an internal thing, but you're saying to yourself, wait a second, this guy was given authority by the state, by the government, by the American flag that I salute when I went to school every day growing up and said the Pledge of Allegiance. This guy's connected to that. They wouldn't do wrong. I know they wouldn't do wrong. That would never happen. And then it happens. And so then they start justifying these killings. They start saying, well, this happened, or well, he should have listened, or well, they shouldn't have done this. And they justify death because it's an internal thing inside of them that they can't handle. They can't look at truth
in
the eye.
We have to also step back and also recognize who gave them this power. Okay? We gave them the power. Okay?
Let me ask you a question. What cop, or soldier, both, either, or, who have you ever given power to? No.
Our people have supported these guys when they're right or when they're wrong. I'm talking, that's what built it. So now it's like, hey, they can't do wrong. And they feel that their power is more.
But it goes into an internal faith thing with these people. I think it's so intertwined with their personal beliefs. I think it's absolutely what it is. And they feel like they're betraying something that they learned at 5 years old. That's an internal thing with them. For them to say that a soldier's wrong. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today who has been overseas multiple times. And, you know, he told me, he said, you know, I wish I could say that, you know, the stories are true about they're all heroes, but they're not. He said, some of the people are good, and some of the most despicable people I've ever met in my life I served alongside of. That's kind of disgusting.
So, in with that being said, you know, like, you know, and that's coming from one of our.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. So, I tell you what, I told everybody earlier we are going to have a special guest tonight. Okay. Very intelligent man, Derek Brose. Welcome to the show.
What's up, man? How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Good night. Ready to get into this? Hopefully there's some people out there ready to get inspired to take action this month.
Absolutely, brother. So, all right, before we start, tell us, and I know you're a humble enough guy, but it came out of you. the day of torture and the day of action. Tell us about that.
Yeah, man, you know, basically, as a journalist, both with Anti-Media and with a number of other outlets, I'm sitting back these past month or so watching and waiting for the Senate torture report to come out. I was definitely not alone, and we've been keeping an eye on the situation and really just waiting for it to come out and see what new details would come. And when it finally comes out, of course, the media makes it into a partisan issue, and the report is quickly forgotten once other things happen, like the Sony hack or whatever else they want to talk about other than actual torture. So it was, you know, it's disturbing to see, for one. I think it's sad to see, and I feel like we owe a sense of responsibility to the people who are still in Guantanamo and other places, because, of course, we don't know all the various black sites that actually exist. But these people who are there, who have been taken, kidnapped, essentially by the government that many of us pay taxes to, I personally don't, but pay, you know, that funds this machine that goes in other people's countries and starts these BS wars, this false war on terror, and people get rounded up in this hysteria and this paranoia and end up with a stigma attached to them for the rest of their life, this, you know, calling somebody a terrorist. And many of these people have been cleared of wrongdoing, and they're still being held, and they try to protest by doing hunger strikes, and what do? They torture them more through force feeding. And these people, you know, are just sitting there waiting for some form of justice. And I feel like it's really, you know, we got to be the voice for those who are voiceless in many ways. And, you know, somebody like that who's locked away in a military prison where the average person, journalist, you know, nobody has access to them. Very few people have been able to go there and have any kind of contact with them. They've been away from their families. And as I said, a lot of them are cleared of wrongdoing, have done nothing, never been charged with any crime, but nobody will let them go home. It's a really messed up situation. So I feel I felt called to, you know, reach out to, of course, the Anti-Media, you guys, and Ben Swan, Liberty Beat, and all the groups that I work with, the Conscious Resistance and the Freethinkers, and just really ask people, like, hey, do you care about this? Like, does anybody else want to do something about this? And there seems to be a general good response coming back, that people realize that this is an issue that we can't let die down.
Absolutely. I think, like, you, when Nick brought it to me at first, and it really, like, touched inside of me, I was so glad, and of course it came from you, that somebody was doing something about this, because, you know, we were all talking about this, and, oh, gosh, it's terrible, we're torturing people, and then the interview and the whole North Korea thing came out, and then the media just dropped it, and it wasn't a big deal anymore.
Which is such a big deal, I think.
Right. Well, it's, you know, we're going to forget that we're torturing people and that we're raping people. Right. Because there's a movie out. And, you know, I think the media is just at fault for saying, look at the right hand while the left hand's screwing you, basically. And I think that's what's so important about this day of action, is that it's bringing attention back onto something that needs a huge spotlight put on it. And I'm so glad that you did this, Derek, that this is something that cannot be just dismissed in 2 days in a news cycle.
Absolutely. You know, this deserves our attention. And I mean, the Anti-Media ran the article talking about the rapes that happen to young boys and children being raped in front of mothers, and the rectal feeding, the, you know, permanent damage to people's nose and rectum, and, you know, standing on one leg for 24 hours. I mean, like, the little bits and pieces that we actually got out of this several thousand page report are disgusting and disturbing. And definitely, there's been a good response, and we're seeing that online. You know, we threw out the memes, and we created the Facebook event, the National Day of Action Against Torture. But it's actually now it's become a global action. Some people from Germany reached out to me and asked me to, you know, add a some German text to the event so Germans can understand. So it's officially a global day
I
of
actually
action
had
now.
A few people from England today reach out to me. So absolutely, it is global.
Absolutely. So see, we got this global thing going on, and you know, we have to, we've gotten some good reaction to it, but there's also been, as we were talking earlier, man, there's been, for me, a surprising, I guess maybe I'm surprised because I'm constantly surrounded by lots of awesome actors and people, and sometimes I delude myself into thinking that everybody has come to this compassionate place and realizing how wrong torture is and that it doesn't provide the United States government with any, you know, valuable intel, even if that was a reason to torture people. It doesn't do that, you know, so that's false, that people will try to repeat that. And this just, I think it's a real sign of our times that people have lost this idea of the United States as some type of moral nation or having the upper hand, you know, taking the high road, et cetera, when they're now really thinking in a sense of an eye for an eye. People are like, well, you know, what are they going to do to us? Or they're petting our people. Or, you know, they make these excuses. I've gotten to several debates today online of people and with soldiers, former soldiers, who I tend to say, thank you for putting your life at risk. I'm sorry that you risked your life for you know, a farce, for something that, you know, you didn't think of. And this guy was willing to admit that. He's like, you know what, I know that we didn't go fight for the things that we were told. It wasn't about freedom, and we were probably serving public governments and corporations. But then they still try to justify it, and he says, but still, you know, I did what I had to do to come home to my child. And I'm not trying to attack any veterans. I have plenty of friends who are veterans who have also gone through this experience and had to say that, yeah, it definitely wasn't what I thought it was, and I wasn't really fighting for America's freedom. And I know that this is a difficult subject for people, and especially for vets, and it's easier sometimes to put your head in the sand and just to act like what you went through had value to it. And not to say that those experiences don't, nobody can take away an experience from you, regardless, military experience or otherwise. But, and I'm not trying to do that, but I think it's important, especially for soldiers, people coming back, veterans. You know, Adam Kokesh, of course, a really well-known vet. There's other outspoken vets who speak out against the process, try to speak to the younger generation to not get sucked into that mentality and to think that this war is about anything other than advancing an agenda that has nothing to do with freedom. It is only about, you know, conquering as much of the world as possible, taking the resources from those individual nations, and instilling puppet ideals and puppets to run the government. I mean, they're really, it's just surprising to me. I've had this thought kind of ringing through my head today that it's 2015, and we're still having to tell people that torture is wrong. Like, I mean, it just blows my mind. And people, you know, somebody was telling me, in war, are you going to try to argue that we need to be compassionate during war? You know, war is a violent thing by its nature. It's going to involve death and all that type of stuff. We can accept that and understand that, but there's a difference between that and, you know, accepting straight-up abuse of other human beings and, you know, cruel conditions and things like that that really have nothing to it. Freedom, or, you know, even if we were to buy the whole narrative of this is about freedom, torturing people doesn't increase America's freedom. It makes us less safe.
Yes. And why should, like, that even be up for debate? You know, like, torturing is wrong. Even, like, you know.
But you have to remember that that people justify the torture. Basically, they're justifying it out of their own fears. And it's kind of twofold. The situation with torture, I think, is very twofold. Is there's a situation where they don't want you to know it's happening, and they do want you to know it's happening. And I think there is a certain aspect of government that does want you to know it's happening, whichever way they leak it, is because they want the population to know that they're capable of doing this. And that instills an extra fear. Like, the entire situation to me is based in fear, is that people justify the torture because there's some guy overseas that's going to come hurt me, so you better hurt him first. Mm-hmm. That's fear. But also, yeah. It comes at, you know, your government's capable of doing something this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to step too far out of line because you know they'll torture you. The whole thing is based in psychology and fear. And it's disgusting and gross. And it's what really frustrates me the most, and I rant about this all the time, is that Christians who believe in the teachings of Christ, which is peace, justify it. It's insane to me.
Yeah.
What would Jesus do? Well, I can tell you this right now, yeah, Derek. It wouldn't be torture.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
No, absolutely. I think that you guys are calling out a good portion of the, I guess, the opposition or the critics of stopping torture, which is the more conservative religious crowd. That meme that you guys had was great. And I think as far as, like, saying the Roman Empire also calling for torture, it's a great way to get them to think about that. But, I mean, we just have to challenge people's thinking. That's what I think. I'm hoping we're a couple of weeks away now, so we put it at the 31st to give it plenty of time for people to plan and to build things up over the coming weeks with articles and memes and art and online, you know, hashtags and online protests, as much as bigger, you know, rallies and protest sign waving and all that kind of stuff. I know in Houston, and I definitely know that Justin King was also planning where he's at on doing basically simulated force feeding or waterboarding.
Justin is actually going to get waterboarded, right?
Yeah, I plan on getting waterboarded out here in Houston as well. We're going to make sure there's like a nurse, everything's all good and safe and stuff, because obviously nobody wants anybody to get permanently hurt. But I definitely feel, again, like I said, I feel called to just, like, out of some sense of solidarity for those who are being unfairly held and, waterboarded and all this, you know, that's atrocious thing, that at the least, you know, we can go out in public and have a big rally and try to get people to pay attention and then show them how, you know, messed up these things are and how horrible it is, and maybe get them to face that reality so they won't accept it, you know?
Absolutely. Now, I want to kind of lead into this, and this is kind of what's kind of led the country into justifying a lot of these brutalities is 9/11. We've discussed on the show a few times how Congressman Thomas Massie in Kentucky, he read the 28 pages, and I don't think Congressman Massie is much of a 9/11 truther. It's hard to tell, but from his own reaction and his own comments were, I read these 28 pages, and I had to stop every 2 to 3 pages to reevaluate history in my mind. Like, basically, he was saying everything that we've been told wasn't exactly what we've been told, and I had to kind of rearrange things and see them from a new perspective because what we've been told was not true. So you, Derek, you've definitely been at the forefront of this, the 28 pages being released. Where are we at with that, and do you see these 28 pages actually come to light?
Okay, so yeah, I've been following this for a while, and I consider myself to be, I guess if it's a after the truth when it comes to 9/11, and the 28 pages of the saga is, of course, only one aspect of finding the truth about 9/11, but as I've been telling friends of mine who are, I guess you could say, veteran 9/11 researchers and activists, that I think this bill, which was introduced in 2013 and was getting tossed around all through 2014, and then now was reintroduced for this year yesterday, this bill would essentially force President Obama to declassify 28 pages of this Senate report, which is known as the Intelligence Activities Before and After the Terrorist Attacks of September 2001. And this report was made right after 9/11, the following year, 800 pages long, over 800 pages, and George Bush, at the time, he classified 28 pages specifically. And so, as you said, Thomas Massie, there's also Walter Jones, Stephen Lynch, several congressmen, and, of course, former Senator Bob Graham, who actually was involved in the writing of the report itself and now is, you know, retired, but he's been speaking out. He won't really say more than he's real careful. They're all really careful what they say.
Now, tell me if I'm wrong, hasn't Graham, he was kind of on one side of the argument, and then once he retired, he kind of flipped what he was saying?
Yeah, I take everything they say with a grain of salt. Like, by all means, I'm definitely glad that they are, like, leading this fight. But these people, I'm sure if we studied each of their individual careers, we'll find examples of them flip-flopping, lying, there's probably corruption. I mean, I'm just saying that, and I feel pretty safely generalizing about them because of how corrupt politicians are. But on this front, yes, I'm thankful, and the family members were definitely expressing their thanks that these people are doing that. And since he's retired now, yes, Bob Graham is speaking out more vocally on, you know, the report, and he's the one who's leading the charge with saying the report points a strong finger, was his exact words yesterday, points a strong finger, let me see if I can find the quote right here, at the Saudi Arabian government. He said, the 28 pages point a strong finger at Saudi Arabia as being the principal financier of the 9/11 attacks. And then somebody asked him in the crowd, one of the journalists after the conference, they asked him if he was speaking about the Saudi Arabian government or independent elements within Saudi Arabia, and he made it clear, he said, no, I'm specifically referring to the Saudi kingdom, because they always declare diplomatic immunity for anybody from the country that has come over there, so they're complicit in hiding whatever, you know, wherever the money came from or who is the exact source of their nation. And then even further than that, the United States, every element of the United States government and the federal government that is continuing to block the release of this information is, as far as I'm concerned, also complicit in these crimes, because they're stopping this.
Go back to Snowden and Manning, you know, it's going to injure troops and blah, 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 and that's how they're going to sell this. Now, the thing that's so shocking to me about this report, and it's going to implicate Saudi Arabia, is that even from the 9/11 Commission report, which is basically an entire work of fiction, to the mainstream media given their narrative, they still say 15 of the 19 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. So what do? Let's go into Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, that's insane. Like, they're telling you, even in their falsehoods, they're telling you what's happening. That Saudi Arabia is involved on some level.
Absolutely. No, like you said, the hijackers were majority from Saudi Arabia. There's, for anybody who spent 10 minutes looking into 9/11, go to research, go look up, names. His nickname is Bindar Bush, because that's how close he is with the Bush family. But the Saudi royalty and the Bush family are extremely close.
There's literally pictures of them holding hands together.
Yeah, absolutely, really. Absolutely. I mean, the American government seems in many ways subservient to the Saudi kingdom. And, of course, some would point out to the fact that the United States petrodollar is dependent on Saudi royalty oil, and, for whatever reason, that makes this nation bound to them and kind of afraid to challenge them. So we have a complicit media afraid to question or look into 9/11. Thankfully, there have been some reports about this press conference, at least, but, you know, for the most part, they just completely gloss over it and ignore it. Or when they talk about it, of course, they just make fun of people and call them truthers and act like it's a crazy thing to question 9/11 when there's obvious holes and fabrications in the supposed official report that we're supposed to all believe. And then that said, this is the justification for the war on terror. This is justification for the torture that's continuing to happen today, the surveillance state, the growing police state. All these things can be traced back to, or at least the growth of them can be traced back to the attacks on 9/11, and everything that's happened since in the past of the Patriot Act was all justified through this. So, you know, it's all connected for me, and that's why, personally, in my research and journalism, I try to bring those connections for people to see, like, how many of these issues are really interconnected, that it's hard to break them down individually and understand them without seeing the way that they relate to the larger picture. And this is definitely a geopolitical picture. So the reason that they more than likely, President Obama would not allow this bill to get through, even though it has a growing amount of support, is because if the American public finally has to accept that they were lied to about one part of the 9/11 Commission report, and that we went to, as you said, the wrong countries where the people weren't even from.
It's a can of worms that's not open.
Exactly, that they would not be able to put it back. You know, once you open Pandora's box, you can't close it.
That's it's all of a sudden the truthers may have it's just this little light of the truthers may be right.
Exactly. If they give any sort of legitimacy to the quote-unquote truthers and their cause, then, people might be willing to say, you know what, maybe I should listen to my crazy friend over there. I'm going to actually watch this documentary or read this book or check out those articles.
Right.
And you might have a whole new generation of people questioning 9/11, which is exactly what we need. So I recommend anybody that cares about 9/11 to this is my advice, is we have a unique opportunity here. Instead of having to go to people on the streets or flyers or whatever, start off with the more, I guess you could say, out there, difficult to accept aspects of 9/11 because it's a huge topic. We now have mainstream news here. We have senators and congressmen and a bill, you know, that for certain people that legitimizes the cause in their mind. You know, tell them, look, I know you're not really into question 9/11, but there's a actual bill here that says that we should declassify these 28 pages. You know, the family members supporting, there was family members at this press conference from the 9/11 Families United for Justice Against Terrorism speaking out about it, saying that, you know, this is Terry Strada, the co-chair, whose husband, Tom Strada, died. She said, private citizens in Congress must take action against those who are responsible for aiding and abetting the 19 hijackers that murdered nearly 3,000 innocent people on American soil, no matter who they may be, no matter what government they are, and no matter what country they come from. I mean, if people want to say that they support 9/11 family members and, you know, they want to respect them and whatever and try to hold 9/11 in this really high place in your mind as far as American history goes, then you need to be willing to listen to what these family members are saying. And they're telling you that what they were told is a lie. These family members ask for three things: accountability, justice, and truth. And that's what they're after. And that's what I'm after. And I think anybody who speaks that with 9/11 should use this news here, this press conference that just happened yesterday, and this effort. The bill is H.R. 14, House Resolution 14. You know, if you believe in calling senators and sending emails and doing stuff like that and asking them to support that, then go ahead and do that, you know, if that's your mode of action. Or if you're more about getting on the streets, print out some flyers, go to the website, look up information on this, talk to people, hold documentary screenings, do whatever you got to do, because I don't think that 9/11, I don't want to be where we are with JFK. You know, it's 50 years later, and most people accept that there's an obvious conspiracy with the JFK death, but nothing ever happened. That was an American president that was assassinated. It was a coup in the United States, you know, and nothing happened about it. We can't let that happen with 9/11. We can't be 20 years from now looking back at 9/11 and still questioning it, and the American people just accepting, yeah, something happened on 9/11, but we'll never know. I'm not going to let that happen. I know there's plenty of people who won't let that happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was in your state just last week and was up at Dealey Plaza into the Kennedy stuff, and while I was there, I noticed that gas was $1.81. Just 2 weeks prior to that, the ruble was crashing in Russia. Now, that all ties into what country? Saudi Arabia. That they're going to keep producing oil and driving down the cost of gas. What is gas right now in Houston?
Yeah, it's somewhere, I think I saw the other day, like 180.
And see, that's the thing that people don't realize, is that Saudi Arabia is relevant to your everyday life, whether they believe it or not. And it's funny that, to me, that gas was at a premium, and then all of a sudden, we went back into Iraq, and then we agreed to go into Syria, and they're going to say, well, we're going to keep producing oil, and then the cost plummets. So it's kind of like we scratch your back, you know, we scratch your back. I think Saudi Arabia is definitely at the middle of this. And I also think, from a psychology standpoint, tell me what you think of this. I think it's very, very ironic that the 9/11, the whole group, it's your truthers. Like, they're offending you by saying you're telling the truth. And just from a psychology standpoint, I think that's fascinating. It's like, you're a truther. You're telling the truth. How dare you?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big believer in, well, as you said, like, the psychology and the power of words, and conscious language is very important to me. You know, just, I think there's a lot of terms that have now been corrupted. It's like everything that, whether it's we're looking at the weather, the food, everything that in our world is being corrupted and sort of turned backwards, you know, and in that sense, so is language being turned backwards, where people no longer, I mean, I think about, like, the idea of being a patriot. Now there's, like, the Southern Poverty Law Center has, like, their patriot hit list.
Which is in this state.
Crazy radicals who
support
the Constitution. And then you got, as you said, the truthers. Well, now, like, being a truther, which I guess I would assume needs somebody in pursuit of the truth, is now something to laugh at and to make fun of. And, you know, and there's definitely, that is definitely done purposefully, you know, to have the average person have the meanings behind these words just flipped and switched on them, it's definitely affecting the way that we communicate and look at each other. And I don't know. I mean, we have to. That's why we have to make sure that these words stay with the meaning. We have to make sure that patriot. I mean, I'm not really sure if I'm a fan of that word itself. Anyways, I think it can mean certain good things, but that word has definitely become more equated to terrorists in the past couple years than anything.
Remember, Derek, that one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, this kind of goes back to the conversation that I was saying I was having earlier with the soldier about torture, and I tried to lay it out to him, saying, like, think about this: if America's chilling one day, and all of a sudden North Korea or Iran or Russia or China, insert enemy of the United States, decided that some terror attack in their country was, you know, led back to the United States, and they wanted to come fly drones over our nation and bomb people and randomly search people's houses and take them and torture them and kill them because they thought they were related to this quote-unquote terrorism, the American people would flip shit, and they would call, when they fought back, they would get called terrorists by this foreign government and really try to get them to see that, you know, like as you said, one person's freedom fighters, another person's terrorists, so it's just a label. These labels can be the same thing with conspiracy theorists. It's like something that, you know, as you said, psychologically, it causes a person to shut down and to either, like, identify, oh, enemy, this is an enemy, like, reject, do not listen, you know, ignore them.
That's absolutely it. And I think that is the biggest war going on in this country. I think that it's in a war inside the internal self. And I think they sell it with patriotism. I think they sell it with terrorism. I think they adopt certain words to hit a certain chord inside of you to give you a certain reaction or belief, and that if you disagree with it, it ties into something from your earlier life that you can't really deal with, so they just kind of go with it.
Absolutely. You know, it's more of just the programming, you know, the programming that is really a part of the overall machine that we're facing. I mean, this is, again, going back to why this is all interconnected. I mean, torture connects to 9/11. The whole thing, the use of the language, connects to the psychology behind the way that people are manipulated on a daily basis and the propaganda machine that we're facing. You also mentioned what was one of the biggest distractions that came across as soon as the torture report was released, this Sony hack scandal and all that. I mean, that was an amazing, amazing experience in watching this psychological operation play out in front of us. You know, I mean, you have this movie that was getting really, nobody was expecting it to do anything positive. You know, they weren't releasing it for reviews because they
even the critics said it was a bad movie. Like, it wasn't like exactly. It was Schindler's List. You know, it wasn't like a big political statement. It was the guys that make some dumb buddy comedies. And that becomes patriotism all of a sudden to go watch this stupid thing.
Yeah, but so now we have the attack against the freedom of speech, right?
That's been, well, yeah, but
I'm saying, so, you know, it's all like these different episodes that's like replaying.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely the same episode on repeat. Yeah. It's like the Andy Griffith Show. I've seen the same episode over and over and over, and that's exactly what the government does.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, we just, now we're seeing this Boston thing again.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's just these all these elements are tied together, and that's why it's important for us to, you know, we have to be willing to stop and, of course, look at the individual elements. So we hold a global day of action against torture, and on that day we focus on the importance of that issue. But on the other days, you know, we fight for the other ways that these issues are interconnected and the ways that we can make ourselves more free. Dealing with torture, I think, is a difficult topic because, personally, I always try to focus on solutions. You know, if I'm going to talk about something or bring a topic for awareness, I hope I like to be able to also offer the person a solution, you know, a way that we can approach this. So in this situation, the solutions are, I believe, what we're already doing, which is speaking out about this, putting information, helping more people know the truth behind this. And I do definitely want to make sure that everybody hears that regardless of what you've heard, and I'll be working on an article on this very soon, President Obama did not stop torture. He is still allowing torture to happen right now. Like, people are still being tortured in Guantanamo Bay and other black sites in the United States. this report definitely got turned into a bipartisan thing and made it seem like it was just George Bush and the Republicans, et cetera, trying to go.
Derek, I hate to interrupt you, but I know you're going to do this. I'm afraid that because Obama is releasing people five at a time from Guantanamo, they're kind of excusing him from that torture. And I think it's very important what you just said is they do realize that he is still continuing this to this day and that he's releasing a few handfuls of people. And then you got the Fox News crowd saying, we are releasing these terrorists, blah, 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 blah. But he's just doing it as a symbolism, but the practice still continues.
Absolutely. It's just a show, man. And, you know, just really to wrap that up, I just think that it's important for us to remember to pursue solutions. I'm also working on an article that talks about how to end torture through voluntary means. And what I mean by that is how to end torture as a community and on a conscious level instead of expecting the government to stop it. Because obviously we know that once the government takes the power, they're very, they're not very likely to give it up and to just all of a sudden decide, you know what, torture's wrong, we're going to stop doing it. I mean, what's going to stop them from doing this when they already have this monolith and power and nobody can stop them behind closed doors, whatever they're doing? So instead, we have to, as individuals, decide which ways that we are empowering this machine empire and slowly find ways to reduce our involvement and our support of that empire. I've seen architects come out and say, there's architects, I can't remember the exact name, but there's a group of architects who are basically saying they are no longer going to build torture chambers, they're not going to build electric chair chambers, and decide, you know what, that's the role they were playing. They were actually building these things, and they recognize that's wrong. There's also a group of psychiatrists who are saying that we're no longer going to be used as tools of the state, where they call in psychologists and psychiatrists to speak in court to justify the torture and say, oh, no, these people are okay, you know, their minds are fine. So these group of psychologists are saying, you know what, we're not going to do that anymore. They actually changed their code of conduct or something like that to say that, you know, we are not, no psychiatrist or psychologist under our organization is allowed to promote the use of torture. So those are ways that as individuals we can take the power back and reduce the influence that the empire has in our lives and the ways that we allow them to continue, because that's what we have to, we really need to look in the mirror, because at the end of the day, the money to build these things, obviously we know the money, the economic system is fake and just contrived anyways, they're printing money like nothing, but it's coming from us through our taxes. As long as we continue to support the system because we believe there is no other way, we will keep doing these things. And there is another way, and that's in the community, in our local areas, and working together nationally and internationally.
Absolutely. Now, as far as January 31st is involved, just speak to me from your personal aspect of Houston. What do you see happening in Houston on January 31st, and what do you think that can resonate around the world?
Well, I don't want to speak completely out loud just yet on what we're planning. I know I've discussed with a few different people, but there's supposed to be some organizational meetings coming up over a couple of weeks so we can as a group decide. But I know that there's definitely, as I said, I plan to participate in a waterboarding. There's a couple other people who volunteered for that as well. So it looks like we'll have a pretty good, big presence in that sense. I know there's going to be
absolutely. As well. Just want to see a circus and see people get tortured. Show up for it. Yeah.
Basically, that's what it is, you know. Right. There's also people who are planning to do some type of street theater as well. So there'll be street theater. There'll be protesters out. You know, people, I'm sure, talking, bullhorning, and signs, and getting waterboarded. Come out and have a good time and see what America's all about.
Well, very good. Well, Derek, you're an absolute inspiration to me. Thank you for everything you do. I will be seeing you again, I guess, in April.
Yeah, in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, in Philadelphia with John.
Awesome.
And, that book. Y'all got a book coming out, so throw that in there.
Yeah, definitely. Anybody wants to keep up with the work that I do, check out theconsciousresistance.com, and you'll see, you know, my work and face there. And John Vibes, who's also a writer for the Anti-Media and other sites, we're working on a book that will be out in April officially at the Free Your Mind Conference in Philadelphia. It's called The Conscious Resistance, Reflections on Anarchy and Spirituality, and it's just looking at the intersection of those two topics and just the interesting ways that I believe that we can each elevate our activism by, and just our own personal lives by taking a closer look at the ways that we look at government and the ways that we look at ourselves and you know, how that connects to the world.
Dude, Derek, thank you.
Appreciate you having me on, brother.
Dude, thank you so much for joining us. I will see you in April, and you be safe, brother.
Thanks, Derek.
You too, man. You guys have a good night. Peace, man.
You too.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's an inspiration. I got to hang out with him. I got to stay in his house in Houston and hang out with him and his friends, and they're just the most welcoming, warm, wonderful people. And, you know, and the thing about Derek, I'll say is, you know, I think a lot of people talk a big talk, but, yeah, like, this guy actually lives what he talks. Yeah, he walks the talk.
He walks.
Yeah, I mean, and very impressive person. So I think everything he said tonight holds a lot of weight.
Yes.
And, you know, I wish people would kind of listen, at least. At least open the narrative, the dialogue.
I agree with what he's speaking on about first starting it within the community. You know, like, I think is we need more activism, more people stepping out. And, hey, if you really believe in this, what are you doing about it?
Right, and I think that goes back into the media itself, is there's this pressure put on people that says, I know you think this, but there's a stigma against it. It's what we talked about earlier as far as the truther movement. Like, not, like, that is, that, the word truther, the word truth has become offensive. Think about that. They have turned the word truth and truther as a negative connotation against people. You want to know the truth? You're crazy. Like, that's where the media has gone with things. And I think that is the directive that is kind of steering us away, this propaganda. I don't really see a big difference, and I know these words, and you say these words, and oh gosh, they're so offensive, but Hitler, Himmler, Goebbels, the Reichstag, I don't see any difference in the United States of America and Germany in the 1930s.
Yeah.
At all.
It's like a repeat.
It really is, and everybody wants to play up these race connotations, or whether it's Jews, whether it's whether it's that. It's like, that's all used as a tool to divide people. That's
Get over
it,
people.
That's
Get
it.
Over it.
That's it. It's all used as division. This is not about race. This is not about religion. This is used as division. And they want to divide you. And you know what? They don't give a shit if, because let's pretend we all have the same skin color. Okay? Let's pretend.
Yeah.
Let's pretend we all look the same. They're going to say, listen, were there people for years making jokes about people from Poland? Polacks. You know what? Because people find differences. There's always going to be somebody that finds a difference in somebody. We have to get over that. We're all human beings, period.
So, and I wonder what it's going to take for us to realize that, man.
The media,
we're seeing it every day. And we're not just seeing, like, and we're seeing part of it, you know, and we're still being misled. Well, not people are being misled because we're more aware.
Right. I believe that there is a certain part of the population that is aware of what's going on. But they're aware to an extent. We're all aware to an extent. I don't even think anything we think we know, we don't really know.
There's a lot of things that we really don't know about.
Exactly.
And it's now just coming forth, but, you know, but
it's fear. That's all anything is. All anything is fear. Whether you're a politician, whether you're Thomas Massie, Justin Amash, people that I think are doing the right things, they're not going to come out tomorrow and say 9/11 was an inside job. And you know what? They're not going to do that. Fear.
Are you afraid?
You know what? I'm not afraid. But you know what? Thank you so much for Anti-Media Radio with my co-host. And for Derek Bros, thank you for your intellect. We will see you next week. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.